What is up, sports fans? Welcome to Sports Odds and Ends. That time has come. It is time for us to put our sports knowledge to the test and try to predict what the year of sports is going to look like. We're coming out of 2020. We're going into 2021. And the thinking cap is on. I'm King Kaz. I'm joined, as I always am, by my good friend, the one, the great JVZ.
Thank you, Kaz. I'm excited for this. I gathered all of our predictions from last year. And a lot of them are going to be wrong, obviously, but it's fun to look back to a simpler time.
We did our predictions fucking pre-COVID, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was in January. And
different world.
Well, it was weird because we did it as like a Patreon exclusive. So like I didn't release it until we had a break, and that happened. That ended up not happening until like April. So So we got January predictions released in April, and that was a little bit weird. But So you guys will see this a lot sooner this time around. The timeline will make sense. DGM is also joining us. He will also be participating in these predictions. So let's get right into it. I think we started with the NBA and NFL champions from last year. Kaz, you got this right. You picked the Chiefs. DGM went with a double prediction. He picked the Packers over the Titans and was wrong on both counts. This prediction was made I think at this point we had just four teams left, so we had very few teams to pick from. This year it'll be a little bit more difficult for us. I picked the 49ers and they lost in the Super Bowl, so Kaz gets points for that. Obviously we're not going to actually tally all these up, but you get credit for getting that correctly.
Yeah. Having the good forethought.
Yeah. The NBA predictions, we all picked the Milwaukee Bucks. Kaz, both you and DJM picked Bucks over the Lakers. I picked Bucks over the Clippers. The Lakers ended up winning.
Now, look. Here's the thing, Bucks though, right?
Make it to the finals.
There's no here's the thing here, Kaz. I will say I believed in the Milwaukee Bucks coming out of the Eastern Conference, and later on in the show when we talk about our disappointment predictions, I might have something to say about that a little bit later.
I mean, I do as well. I'm just saying we didn't get Bucks Lakers because there was a force of nature that came from the South that no one expected, and we didn't get to see Bucks Lakers. And maybe if it was Bucks Lakers, maybe things are a little different. I'm just saying.
Maybe.
Like I said, everybody, stay tuned for later in the podcast. I've got some things to say about this particular one.
All right.
The 2021 predictions. Now the NFL ones are going to be a little bit harder since we are not even in playoffs yet. So Kaz, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Looking at it, I think I'm narrowing it down to kind of four teams in my head and then one overall. I think the four teams I've narrowed it down to are the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Browns as like kind of like Ooh. Wild shit. And then the Bills, right?
Kansas City, Cleveland, Seattle, and Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. So I think in the end of it all, I still like the Chiefs, man. I think the Chiefs are just really hard to beat. Every time I get a chance to watch them, every time I get a chance to see them do their thing, they just look like they can figure it out at any point in the game. Even when they're behind, they just have this thing about them that just makes them the best team out there all of a sudden when they need to turn it on. They just know how to turn it on when they need to turn it on, kind of a thing. And I think that in itself, and I don't think any of it is luck. I don't think any of it is magic with air quotes on it. I just think they are one of those teams that knows how to turn it on when they need to. And I think that's hard to beat just in general. I think they have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's just good shit, man.
It's not magic with air quotes. It's just magic without air quotes. That's the way I think of it. And I don't think they have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think they have the best quarterback in the NFL by far. And I think that gap got bigger this year, and I didn't expect it to get bigger, but it did. And this team is 13-1, which is, I think, 2 games ahead of everybody else, 2 games ahead of the next closest team. So this is a very good team that is stomping all over their competition, and to the point where they're even making some of their competition look silly. So unless some miracle happens in the playoffs, I don't see any team beating the Chiefs either. So that's my prediction as well. I'm going with the safe one this year. But I think the best team got better is going to be a theme with me for some of these predictions. DJM, what is your prediction?
My theme last year was to try and be a little bit of a contrarian, to not pick the most obvious, most glaring choice. So coming out of the AFC in 2021 for this prediction show, in the AFC championship game, I'm seeing the Buffalo Bills, who look like the most complete team that isn't the Kansas City Chiefs, taking on the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. And I'm saying that they will come out of the AFC. And in the NFC, I really only see two teams that really strike me as contenders, and that's the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints. Maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, maybe Tom Brady still has a little bit magic in the tank, maybe. But I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints coming out of the NFC, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. And in the end, Patrick Mahomes will put another legendary QB down in a high-stakes playoff game and cement his status as the man in the NFL. And I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs beating the New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl.
Okay. But also with the caveat that they will beat the Bills.
Yes.
UGM's okay. Putting them through the hard mode.
Yeah. But yeah, I know you've been on the Josh Allen train for longer than anybody else. So it's good to see him make good on that. And also just good to see the Bills being good in general. I was worried that you were going to predict that the Bills would lose in the Super Bowl, which is another... I think Bills fans would be happy about that, but it just kind of follows trends with the Bills losing 4 straight Super Bowls in the early 90s, and it would suck to see them lose again. If they make it to the Super Bowl again, I want to see them win. All right,
go ahead.
So for the NBA, I have a hard time looking past the Lakers again. I just think that. I think they clearly showed that they were the best team, even if by just a little bit. And then they've gotten deeper, and I think they have a tougher team than they did last year. And now their team is a little bit more experienced, and it's going to be hard for anybody to compete with them. So I'm just going to go with the easy pick here, even though I hate making it. Kaz, yes. What is your NBA pick?
For the NBA, this one's a little bit harder because I still, we've talked about this, right? I still don't think any team has, I don't think any team has made significant enough changes to their rosters, to really, really, really make that push. But I feel like with a lot of people coming back from injuries, those will be some significant things. I'm kind of making this prediction in the dark. But I feel like coming into it, it's going to come down to, I always like picking the coming downs too, right? think it's going to come down to the Lakers. I think they're going to be in there in the finals. I think coming into the East, it's going to be Miami, and then like out of nowhere, either either Brooklyn, which I think has a good chance, or like I don't know. There's too many teams on the East that I just can't pick between.
I think those two are enough, right?
Yeah. And then to my other pick on the West is the Golden State Warriors. I think they're going to be the team that kind of unexpectedly comes back from injury the best. And I kind of want to see them do it again. I kind of want to see them go all the way. And I want to see Steph Curry put people on blast again with the deep three.
Yeah, so unfortunately they won't have Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
So right now they're rolling with Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre, and that lineup has been, at least the first couple games, has been a defensive nightmare for them. Mm-hmm. And then Steph Curry was never really a lockdown defender. I think he had to work pretty hard to get to the point where he was a passable defender. Mm. But I think that one's going to be a little tough, but at least you've got the Lakers to balance that out. So I think who's winning the title?
Oh no, I'm picking the Warriors. I think they're going to unexpectedly like surprise people. I think people are going to look at them and look at the fact that they don't have Klay Thompson and they don't have the greatest defense and kind of look past them in too many situations.
So you're saying Steph Curry is going to have an absurd season, like a superhuman season.
I don't know if it's Steph Curry himself, but I like Andrew Wiggins. I like Kelly Oubre. I think those guys are really surprisingly good offensive players that I think add to that situation. I think they're the type of players that people look past.
VZ?
And end up doing really good things.
VZ, what do you think of James Wiseman on the Warriors? How do you feel about him?
I haven't actually had a chance to watch him, but I would feel better about James Wiseman and Steph Curry and Draymond Green carrying this team than I am about Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre contributing. I think
James Wiseman, everybody, was the number two overall pick in the last NBA draft. 7-footer out of Memphis.
Yeah. Who I think only played like 3 college games, and but I think during that time was able to establish himself as a top talent. But I think, I think it was a good pick for the Warriors, certainly, and I think he fits in well with the team, at least as far as what the team needed. So I think that will help out. I just think Klay Thompson is just such a good player, both on the offensive and defensive ends, and they're going to really miss him. And I think having Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant and Draymond Green anchoring the defense, all 3 of them together, that was a very underrated part of their championship runs. And so missing 2/3 of that is going to be killer for that team. I don't think Steph Curry can outscore everybody, but if he does, it'll be incredibly fun to watch. So Kaz going with the fun prediction this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad you brought up the Brooklyn Nets, because they've come out on fire this year. So they're definitely going to be in contention as well. DJM, what's your pick?
My pick is the Brooklyn Nets coming out of the Eastern Conference. Like Kaz said, the Eastern Conference is kind of hard to narrow down. There are good teams, but they're all kind of melded together. And I'm just going to say that for 1 year, the Brooklyn Nets will make it work before Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant both go insane. For 1 year, they will make it work, and they will come out of the Eastern Conference. Out of the West, Lakers move on. And I think that this will probably be a pretty competitive series. I wouldn't be surprised if this goes 7 games, but I will say that it will be the Lakers. I don't think that this will be just a complete domination in the playoffs by the Lakers, but I think they'll get there. So I think it's unanimous. Well, no, no, it's not. Kaz is picking the Warriors, but VZ and I are saying the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think the Lakers is a terrible pick in any way. I think it's a smart bet because, like I said, I don't think any team has gotten better than the Lakers, right? Like, and it's a hard prediction to make, but with there's a lot of factors in a lot of people coming back from injury that you know could cause them some problems, but I don't think it will.
The Lakers went from JaVale McGee to Marc Gasol, so I guess that's all I have to say.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man.
All right, so let's move on to let's throw in some baseball predictions here.
Okay,
first, are we even going to have a season? But assuming we do, who is coming out on top? The season hasn't even started, so I think we'll. These are very long-term predictions.
Yeah, this is like the biggest long shot of all of them. I think for me, I'm going to go with... Oh, man. See, this is rough because I really don't know how a lot of teams are playing. I think I'm going to go with... And this is going to be wild, right? Coming down to it, I think it's going to be between like the Astros and the Marlins.
Oh,
I'm just going real wild here. And I think the Marlins finally get it and maybe bring some happiness to like defeating the evil empire that is the Astros.
Yeah.
As opposed to another evil empire in the American League.
Yeah. The perennial one. DJM, what do you got for baseball?
I gotta say, coming out of the National League, the Dodgers, they were
good pick.
Far and away the best team in the National League. And it kind of wasn't close. So I'm saying that they'll more than likely make the World Series coming out of the National League. The American League, a little bit tougher. But I'm going to say that I think that the Minnesota Twins will finally put it all together. They've been kind of developing some players, getting some power hitting, signing a few pitchers here and there. And I think this might be the year that the Minnesota Twins finally come out of the American League and put it all together. And I'm going to go with the Minnesota Twins coming out of the American League. And yeah, like I said, last season... And the season before that, the Dodgers were like the most complete team in Major League Baseball. And I can see them winning it all. They won it last year during the COVID season, and I can really see the Dodgers repeating.
All right. I think I'm going to go with the same thing, but this is going to be the matchup that I want to see: Dodgers versus Astros. Again, and just so that it feels like we got a little bit of redemption for the Dodgers last year, but it wasn't a complete thing because I feel like they have to get that redemption against the Astros, and in a theoretically clean series this time around, and only once they get that then everything will be restored. Peace will be restored on Earth once the Dodgers finally get over on the Astros. And the Astros, and
they're poised to do it, right? Like the Dodgers just look like the team to beat. Like in the last couple of years, they've looked that good.
Well, that, and then they upgraded and got Mookie Betts. So it's I'm just all in on Mookie Betts in general, like, and he's just a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
All right. So, most outstanding sports person last year, Kaz and I picked Giannis Antetokounmpo. DJM picked Lamar Jackson. For male athletes, Kaz for female athletes, Kaz picked Aspen. DJM picked Clarissa Shields. I picked Breonna Stewart. So how do you guys think we did on our predictions last year?
Well, Kaz and I both picked the MVPs of our respective leagues, didn't we?
That is true. Yeah, and I think Giannis was a fairly safe pick. Lamar Jackson had won the MVP from the previous year going into the prediction show. So I think as far as 2020 goes, I don't know how Lamar Jackson's kind of had a bit of a drop off. Giannis still won MVP, but also didn't really do so well when it came to the playoffs. I'm pretty happy with my Breonna Stewart pick on the women's side, but also I just really argument. Like Breonna Stewart.
I do too. No argument on
no,
that.
No, I agree with your pick more than mine, because mine fizzled out and turned out to be nothing, because that was based on that player getting an opportunity to play in the Overwatch League, and that thing fizzled out and became nothing. I mean, it's still something, but you know, it's not what it was poised to be a year ago.
And I believe recently Clarissa Shields announced that she was switching over to MMA. Is that right, DJ?
Yeah, well, she is still undefeated in boxing, and she said she's going to do both, but she is going to start moving into MMA, but she said that she will continue to box as well. But yeah, as it stands right now, as far as boxing in women goes, she's still pretty much like it.
Yeah. I think we need to do a better job overall of covering women's boxing, just because there's pretty good competition, but there's so few big names that it's only going to help the situation if we do a better job of covering it. Okay, so for 2021, who are your outstanding male athletes? Kaz, I will start with you first.
I'm trying to think. You know what? I'm going to give it to... Oh, man. See, this is the hard one for me, because you gotta go across all sports,
yeah,
and really 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 go for it. Like I can take the safe one and go Giannis again, but I feel like that's too safe. And I feel like it's not gonna go as... I don't know. I feel like it's not gonna go the same. I think I gotta go wild, man.
So Puck reminds us in the Twitch chat that we've got an Olympics this year. So you have the opportunity to put in like Olympic athletes that you only get to see every 4 years or so.
Yeah. But see, I don't know.
I should say,
I don't know any Olympic athletes that well. Like, you know what? I'm going to just, this is going to be a sad one. I'm going to just say LeBron.
Okay.
I don't want to. It's a cop out. It is 100% a cop out, but I'm going to just go with LeBron.
Yeah.
Well, that makes two of us, Taz. I said LeBron too, for my male athlete, that is.
All right. I'm going to go with my breakout star from last year, Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm. That's but a solid
interesting
pick.
That we all went with NBA players.
Because it's what we know, man.
The NBA is as much of a global sport at this point as... It's almost as much a global sport as soccer at this point.
It's definitely getting there. I think we're... Yeah, I'll say it's definitely getting there. And it's that's where they're aiming to position themselves. So I think that's a good goal. And they're trying to hit markets that soccer hasn't quite hit as well, like India. So that's...
And Africa.
All right. So female athletes. DJM, I will start with you on this.
Shout out to Reverend Puck in the chat room, who pointed out that the Olympics will be coming up in 2021, because my pick is Simone Biles, generally regarded as the best female gymnast of all time, has a bunch of gold medals, has moves named after her in gymnastics, if I recall. But my pick for a female athlete is, in my opinion, especially with the Olympics coming up, kind of a no-brainer. She'll be in everybody's purview again. Simone Biles.
All right. I'm going to go back to basketball. And I want to say Breonna Stewart again, but...
Do it, man. Follow your heart.
I also want to pick... I'm picking Elena Deladon, but that's also assuming that...
That's kind of a LeBron pick. That's kind of a LeBron pick.
Well, it has the risk of she might not play. So it's... and we also don't know when the WNBA season is going to start. So... if it starts during its normal summer schedule, then maybe that's post COVID, hopefully. I want to see her come back. I want to see the WNBA with all of its stars there, and because I feel like we're missing out on the fact. It just seems like we've got at least five stars out every year for whatever reason, and I want to see one with like a perfectly healthy top shelf level of talent. So I will pick Elena Deladon.
Hell yeah.
Kaz, what is your pick?
So this one was a struggle for me. I was thinking about Olympic athletes because you guys brought that up. And then I was thinking like the rising sun that is kind of female soccer and female basketball and going with one of those. But I think what I'm hoping for is kind of in this like next year going forward is kind of a baton passing in another sport that doesn't have baton passing. And that is going from the greatness, you know, the kind of the star fizzling on Serena Williams and then the baton being passed to Naomi Osaka.
That was my second choice. Pick. That's my second choice after Simone Biles.
I think her star has just kind of constantly been on the rise. And this year kind of threw a little bit of a wrench in there for her with all the COVID stuff. But I think it also helped her with a lot of the social things that were going on and giving her a platform to be brave, to speak out on those things and hold herself accountable to the things that she spoke out against and kind of do that. And now I think going into it, since we're going to be coming into summer pretty soon, I think it's going to give her an opportunity to really show out. And I think she's going to have that opportunity to put herself on that stage to beat people and then show her skill and not just her character. You know what I mean? Like, I think she's already shown her character and that has helped her grow. But I think now she has to show the skill.
I mean, she's
shown it, yes, but I think it has to continue. You know what I mean? Yeah. To have that for what I'm saying is the baton to pass from Serena Williams to her. I think it has to be a consistent thing.
Because that is a very high bar.
Yes.
Or career wise, that is a very high bar, and so she's got to keep racking up titles if she wants to compete on a career level. Mm-hmm. All right, so breakout stars from 2020. Kaz, you have George Kittle. DJM, you have Arslan Ash. And I had Luka Doncic.
Mine did not work out that well.
it took down my fantasy team with it.
I think he's still ranked number one in Tekken. I think he still is.
So, all right, yeah. Well, that's... do you feel like he had a breakout year, or was it... kind of just
I think as good that,
as when he started
I think year. That early 2020 was kind of when he really broke out, and this was the year that it wasn't just... I think I was probably picking this not just for the sake of Arslan Ash, but the idea of Pakistan in esports and competitive gaming. And I think that, at least in the fighting game world, Pakistan has really cemented itself, at least in the fighting game world. And Arslan Ash was really the leader of that.
All right, that's legit. Yeah, I'm pretty happy. Well, I'm not happy with Luka Doncic, but only just due to context. I think the pick was a correct pick, but every time he does something good, I just get mad. So,
breathe, VC.
Yeah. But I don't know. Hey, the Kings are 2-0, so that's I can be happy for a little bit.
Pistons are right on schedule.
Yeah. And so are the Knicks. Even Pixar movies are taking shots at them.
You watch Soul too?
I saw the clip, but I of that particular joke, but I did not watch the entire movie yet. But yeah, Kaz, who is your breakout star for 2021?
2021. I think going into the 2021 season, I was thinking about a couple of basketball players. I was thinking about one of the Balls, balling out and doing great things, but I don't think they're going to live up to it.
LaMelo has had some pretty flashy passes in the preseason, like amazing ones.
I think I want to ride a high coming off of the playoffs and go with Tyler Hero.
Oh,
okay. I think all things go good. He keeps going as like the new great white hope for basketball players, right? Like, I think he's on a team that can give him enough media attention. I think he's on a team that believes in him enough to give him the opportunity to put the ball in his hands. And I think he has players around him in Jimmy Butler and Gordon and Dragic who won't necessarily steer him the wrong way, right? Who actually give him the tools to be successful. I think he has all of the chips on his side to gain enough media clout to kind of continue for the next few years. And I think he has the basketball skill too. If he doesn't fall into what kind of a lot of good white players outside of Luka Doncic fall into and being a spot up shooter, you know, like
his teammate Duncan Robinson.
Yeah. I think if he takes the opportunity to kind of still be a little bit flashy, but polish it, I think he has a chance to kind of be, you know, this player that gives a lot of white kids hope to play basketball again.
it's funny.
So what you're saying is you're saying Tyler Hero could be the next white chocolate.
Yeah. I don't think he has the flashiness for it, but I think he has the basketball skill for it, right? I think he's not scared to drive to the basket. He's not scared to shoot over people. He's not scared is the thing, right? Yeah. He's not scared to
that's what's most impressive about him.
Yeah.
And well,
JVZ, I hope you don't mind me invoking the name of Jason Williams, white chocolate.
No, that's fine. It's also weird because Jason Williams, he had like three very flashy years with the Kings, and that's where all of his highlights come from. Mm-hmm. But he was a better player, a more productive player, and a less erratic player after he left the Kings, when he was playing for Memphis and then eventually won a title, I think with Miami. And so it's He's always just a weird thing for me as a Kings fan, where like his most famous years are with the Kings, but that's also where he was not as good of a player as, I mean, he was flashy and like I'm glad you brought up, you know, the Balls and
flash is fun.
Flash is fun. And that was really, really fun to be not in Sacramento, but in the Sacramento area as that was happening, and that kind of cemented my fandom. And So he was a big part of that. But yeah, I think Tyler Hero has kind of that same level of confidence, but much better skill. Maybe not as far as passing, but at least as far as shooting goes, he's I think he has a much better ability to stay on the court longer and not get subbed out of games for doing something stupid. All right, so my breakout star for this year, I'm picking Sabrina Ionescu because she had kind of an abbreviated WNBA season last year after playing just two games and then getting hurt. So I'm picking this year as her breakout year.
All right. She was the number one overall pick when she was drafted, right?
She was.
Is it just me, or does it seem like with the WNBA, there aren't very many like busts with the number one overall picks? Like it seems like, especially in the last few years, if you're the number one overall pick, you pretty much jump right into the WNBA, and you're like already at a high level.
Yeah, and I think. I actually looked this up. I think Kelsey Plum was like the last number one overall pick to not be, I forgot whether it was an all-star or like an all WNBA player or not win a championship, I think. But she's still a very good player. So like, yeah, they do not bust. And I think part of that is just because they play for most players play for 4 years and they don't come out early. And the competition level in women's college basketball is pretty high as well. So I think the game is also not a whole lot different in the WNBA versus college. So I think when you see good players in college, you can expect them to be good in the WNBA. So fewer busts, which I think, I like that. I like the idea that at least at the top of the draft, you're not going to swing and miss. And I think that does good things for competitive balance for the league. All right, okay. What's your 2021 breakout star, DJ?
My breakout star is coming from college football because I've started to notice a pattern with one particular school, one particular coach, his offensive scheming, and the quarterback position. And my breakout star for 2021 is going to be Oklahoma University quarterback Spencer Rattler. This season, he was a freshman, but he was the starter. And I have a feeling under Coach Lincoln Riley, he is going to be the next Oklahoma quarterback. After Baker Mayfield, after Jalen Hurts, I think that I have found the guy that I want the Detroit Lions to draft in a couple of years, and I think it's Spencer Rattler. I think he's my guy. I think he's going to be the as they say in college football, the September Heisman, and I believe he's going to run the table with that. He'll be a Heisman finalist next year.
All right. Would he be... I know this would end up being like a 2022 prediction, but is he draftable?
No. I believe he's only a freshman. And okay. I'm pretty sure that it needs 3 years of eligibility or something. It's like a three-year rule or something. So that's I'm like saying that. A couple of years down the line when he's number one overall, I'm hoping the Lions draft him.
Okay.
But yeah, but Oklahoma quarterbacks...
Not if they have to tank hard to get to him.
Right. But yeah, Oklahoma quarterback Spencer Rattler.
All right. Okay. Who will have a redemption year this year? We had a lot of people with some really rough years. So who in 2021, who's coming back?
See, I think because we didn't have this one last year, but I think the high bar is, once again, Jimmy Butler, right? For
the
best redemption young arc outside of an anime that exists. So I think if you can't hit that, man, I don't know. I think right now, and this is a dangerous pick. This is a dangerous pick, right?
Do it.
James Harden's going down the heel path right now, but maybe he can make the face turn.
All right. Walking again. That's a really tough one.
He's going hard heel.
I guess what I'm asking is, what would constitute redemption for James Harden?
I see it in one of two ways, right? Either he gets what he wants and he goes to another team and he becomes like a breakout leader and to the point where he's doing things outside of basketball that aren't just for James Harden, because a lot of the things he does outside of basketball are for himself, right? Like he's very flashy in his clothing and all that kind of stuff. I think like he has to go like full on philanthropist, like to hit the fullest part of this redemption arc. But I think the biggest thing would be if somehow, some way, he comes to some kind of a deal with Houston and then just leads them to the finals and they do big things. Like those are really the only two paths I can see that are full redemption. Other than that, everything else is just regular NBA bullshit.
So shout out to Secret Base, but their Beef History series has a pretty nice video about Hakeem Olajuwon and the beef he had with the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. And so he had kind of a very similar redemption arc where he was dead set on leaving and somehow, some way, they managed to convince him to stay. And then a couple of years later, they got two championships out of it. So I don't know. Maybe if James Harden did the same, then I don't think they're going to get championships out of this. But I think, you know, if he did somehow pull that off, I could see that being the case, or I could see that qualifying him as a good redemption story. I just always go back to the fact that I hate the way James Harden plays. So like, even if he did a bunch of good things,
yeah,
I would still be like, well, I still hate watching him draw fouls over and over again. But yeah, it's gonna be hard to come back. But I see you're buying low on this. All right, DJM, who's your redemption year story?
I'm sticking with college football, and I'm going to say that my redemption story will be the University of Michigan. And I guess just for the fly-by-night sports fan, that would also include their head coach, Jim Harbaugh. Do I think they'll beat Ohio State? No. Do I think they'll be in the college football playoff? No. But from what I've seen, if I can get like super duper regional here with Big Ten football, seems like the University of Michigan has found one or two decent quarterbacks, one being Joe Milton, the other being Cade McNamara. They fired their defensive coordinator, Don Brown. This season was not good for Michigan. It wasn't good for the Big Ten as a whole, really. But I think that this will be the year now that each of those two quarterbacks that I mentioned will have a full spring camp, a full summer, and go into the fall fully ready. And depending on what the University of Michigan does with Jim Harbaugh's contract, I think this will be the year that Michigan rights the ship.
All right. I'm having a little bit of trouble with mine because I feel like there's a bunch of different ones to choose from because we shit on a lot of people. But I'm going to throw out a dark horse and say that the Bears are going to cut Mitchell Trubisky and then he's going to go somewhere else and he's going to cobble together a good season and show everybody that he is not as bad of a quarterback as the Bears made him look.
I like that.
I like that too. Go out there and do it.
Yeah. I don't know.
He'd be like the anti Carson Wentz.
Yeah, kind of. And I almost wanted to pick Carson Wentz as well, but I feel like there's a lot of room for growth with with Mitchell Trubisky, where I feel like we might have, for Carson Wentz, it's like you're just hoping that he'll get back to where he was before. But I feel like for Mitchell Trubisky, you still don't know where that peak is. And maybe we've seen it, maybe we haven't, but he's definitely one of those change of scenery quarterbacks where change of scenery might do him good. All right. Who will, I guess as far as teams go, or maybe we can pick players as well, but who do you think is going to disappoint in 2021? Who has high expectations that are going to fall?
I got
flat?
Mine.
Let's go over.
Let's go over the ones we had. I picked the Washington Capitals.
And DJ, I picked Clemson and Trevor Lawrence. I picked the Brooklyn Nets, which I don't know, was a weird pick considering.
You guys on this one kind of get a push because both the NHL and NBA seasons were so broken up by COVID. I think both you guys get a pass on that one.
Yeah, but also picking the Brooklyn Nets to be disappointing was kind of weird because we already knew Kevin Durant was not going to play last year.
Yeah.
So it would be more.
They ended up making. Wait, did they go to the playoffs?
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And actually did okay. They did end up firing their coach midseason, but Jock Vaughn helped, you know, even without Kyrie Irving, he kind of did. He got the rest of that team playing pretty well. And I don't know. So, that's why coming into this NBA season, I was thinking like I was actually feeling more like this team would fall apart, but at least these first two games have kind of proved me wrong on that.
And then for DJM's pick,
I picked Clemson. They're the number two team in the country.
They are.
They did have that. They had that loss to Notre Dame. Trevor Lawrence did catch COVID and he was out for a little bit. So.
All right.
But no. I missed that one. That's a miss. That is a clear miss on my part.
All right. So I think when you come into this kind of a thing, the team has to have hope for being good for it to then be a disappointment, right? You can't pick something that's already a disappointment to be a disappointment, right? Like, That's shooting fish in a barrel. So I'm going to go with all things considered. I think this time around, I'm going to take the Brooklyn Nets.
All right.
Because now they're on redemption arc, right? Everyone's healthy. They're coming into it. They made the playoffs last year. So they should be able to do even better things this year with a healthy Kyrie and a healthy fucking Kevin Durant. But at the same time, I hate Kevin Durant. So I don't ever want to see him do anything good. So I'm going to take the Brooklyn Nets.
Something that got me thinking when you mentioned James Harden, like going somewhere else and winning a championship as a redemption arc. Do you consider Kevin Durant winning a championship with the Warriors to be a redemption arc?
I think it could have been, but I think his personality ruined it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's the fact that he's a piece of shit,
yeah.
The fact that he's still mad that people are mad at him for that is always kind of comical.
All right. And the fact that like he went there, he did that, and then like the fact that he didn't get the praise that he thought he deserved from that. Yeah. And the fact that like he still wasn't like, I mean, was he a good player on that team? Yes. Was he the best player on that team? Like, and I think that is all ego, right? Like, you won a championship with the best team that there was. All you did was really add to the arsenal that they already had. You didn't necessarily make them that much greater, but you did make them better. And I think that's that thing, is he wants to feel like he makes a team great. But that situation wasn't that. He wasn't going to a team that had like this great need. He went to a team that was already really good and just made them just that much better. Like,
if James Harden goes to the Nets, then that definitely doesn't count as your redemption.
No, not like he would have to, like, it would have to be a situation where Kyrie and Kevin Durant get hurt again, and he literally just puts the team on his back and carries them through. And it would have to happen in the season, not like they make it to the playoffs and then that happens. No, like, I mean, like, 30 games into the fucking season, fucking Kevin Durant and Kyrie just explode, and he's the only thing left. Like that would be it. Like, he just wills it. Like, that would be the only way to redeem that, is like, he just fucking wills it. Or he'd have to go to the middle of bumfuck nowhere and will it. Like, he'd have to go to the fucking Knicks or fucking somewhere where it just is impossible. Like, literally in fucking possible.
Right. James Harden to the Pistons.
Yeah. like either the Pistons, like the Pistons or the Knicks, and then both teams trade all of their best options to get James Harden, because that's what they would have to do. And right. It's just literally James Harden and the fucking Funky Bunch, and he wills it.
It would literally be James Harden and a bunch of 19-year-olds if it were the Pistons. I'm not even
kidding. Same on the Knicks. Yeah, it would be him and a bunch of 19, 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
So I think, just to bring it back to who will disappoint, I think James Harden going to the Nets actually increases the likelihood that they would disappoint.
Yeah.
Because right now they're looking okay, but I feel like adding him to that mix would make that whole thing combustible.
Right. It would be too much hype, and then it would implode on itself. And then all of those guys, except for maybe Kyrie. So when I say all of them, I mean Kevin Durant and his 7 personalities, and then James Harden's, would just start pointing fingers at each other, and then they would implode that team even more.
Yeah.
Now, Kaz, all of the things you just said are why my big disappointment would be Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Ooh.
Because I think that it is time for Giannis to take control of the Eastern Conference. Like I said, the Nets will probably fall apart when Kyrie and Kevin Durant both go off the deep end. And if that happens during the season, the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis, I think they signed Kyle Korver, I think, Chris Middleton, the legend. I think that this is the time for the Milwaukee Bucks to say, okay, we've had enough of this. We're taking the Eastern Conference, end of discussion. And if they don't, that would be disappointing on Giannis's part. It would probably make me start thinking, maybe Giannis isn't the guy. Maybe he isn't. I don't know. Maybe
he's just a regular season legend and not a god.
Not right. Yeah.
Because there, I mean, those guys exist, right? There are those guys that
during the season, he's
answer for them.
He's a guaranteed 35-10 during the regular season, but in the playoffs, the Bucks always seem to just miss the mark. So I at least want to see the Bucks win the Eastern Conference. My prediction was for the Nets because of Giannis in my disappointment category. I'm saying, Giannis, prove me wrong. I need Giannis to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the year that, I mean, so the East is going to be kind of a bloodbath, which is nice, compared to just LeBron steamrolling the competition like it used to be. But I think this is going to be the year that during all this shuffling, the Toronto Raptors fall out. And I know they don't necessarily have the highest expectations, but I think that they're kind of a team that we just perennially expect to be there. And I think they had quite the peak. They won a championship, but now they're on the downturn, and we'll be seeing a collapse video from Secret Base in about 5 years from this team. So yeah, I think this is the year that the Toronto Raptors disappoint. All right. So last year, I asked, is there going to be any scandal in 2020, or at least any story that is going to be bigger than the Astros cheating scandal. I actually said there was going to be no story that was going to be bigger than that. Kaz said that there's going to be an NBA tampering scandal.
There almost was, though. We almost got there.
It's just at the point where just since everybody's tampering, that like it's not even that scandalous.
we were almost there, and then everyone did it.
The Bucks got caught tampering, and everybody was like, well, you shouldn't even punish them because everybody's doing it worse. The Bucks actually just got caught. And it wasn't even that bad.
Like, I'm so mad, man. We were almost there. It was so close to actually happening. It was so close. And I was like, fuck, man. As soon as they hit that point where it's like, well, everyone does it, I'm like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah. All right, so DGM has something from college football. I almost feel like the way you could work that into COVID, which probably was the biggest or is the biggest story.
The coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic.
I feel like the way college football has handled that, it is pretty scandalous.
Yeah.
I think forcing the players to play was one of the biggest things. The whole like money shit that came about this year was another one of those things. I think there were a lot of college scandals this year, like especially college football scandals. And I think COVID was kind of the big push in that. Still having, like, I think college in general was a scandal this year with COVID.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Like, so I don't know. I kind of want to give it to DJO. Like,
yeah,
I'll take it.
I bet on the field here and lost. So it's, yeah, I mean, that Astros cheating scandal was a pretty big one. And to the point where we were looking forward to watching.
I just assumed college football just stays corrupt.
Yeah. there's certain institutions, the college sports, FIFA, you can kind of expect them to boxing. You just expect them to just have all kinds of shenanigans. And even in the year of our Lord COVID-19, they still managed to make waves, even if it wasn't the biggest wave, or they rode the wave and still managed to do bullshit things. All right. So for 2021, DJM, we'll start with you. What do you think is going to be the biggest scandal?
I think that there will be a scandal with what is considered by many to be a national holiday, and that's the NFL draft. I believe that there will be a highly touted top prospect, first round NFL talent that will get arrested for something really bad, like in training camp or leading up to the 2021 season. Like, this will be like a top 15 pick, like a guy people know and are expecting to get drafted will do something really egregiously bad, like really terrible, and probably get cut for it.
Oh, so this will be after they get drafted.
Yeah, after they get drafted.
So you're not talking about like a prospective top 15 you're pick like ruining their chances. You're talking about somebody that actually got drafted that then has to get cut, so it becomes even more scandalous because
it will be something that will happen either from OTAs to week one of the 2021 regular season.
Johnny or Manziel, something that happened before that they got caught for.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Like they murdered somebody last year and then they get caught for it.
They coughed on somebody and it got caught on Instagram. Oh, okay.
Like, speaking of, I'm surprised Johnny Manziel hasn't shot someone. I know I keep bringing him up, but, like, he's on that level, man. Like, I'm surprised this man hasn't been like, because he's such a tryhard to, like, want to be hard. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of those kind of guys. He wants that perception to be.
We haven't heard from Johnny Manziel in, like, two years, Kaz. Yeah. It's been...
But I'm just saying, it's like, over. I'm surprised there wasn't more of that. So this is like for me the redemption of like there's gonna be that person who wants to be perceived as being this tough guy so bad that he's gonna do something like so far and so outlandish that it goes to the point of murder, like gets in a bar fight and stabs somebody, you know, like because he wants to prove that he's such a badass.
So and on like, that note, like, my prediction is that there's going to be some sort of COVID related death that involves an athlete.
An active athlete.
Is it a star? Like, is it a name, a notable name?
It's going to be a star because what? Okay, so it's not necessarily the athlete dying. It's going to be athlete gets COVID and gets an ICU bed over somebody else that is just a nobody that nobody knows. So, and then that other person ends up dying because the athlete got preferential treatment.
Mm. Okay.
And bonus points if they did something stupid to get COVID.
Yeah.
Like the example everybody uses of, you know, somebody going out to a strip club. They go out to a strip club.
Those
they get
wings
COVID.
Are really good, though.
They go out to a strip club. They pretend they're getting there. They were just there to get wings. Then they get COVID, and then they take an ICU bed away from somebody else, and that person ends up dying.
Okay. I think mine's not as extreme as your guys's. But this is one I've been holding on to. Mine is, I think we're heading into another year of PED scandals, like kind of across sports. Cause I think the PED stuff has a flow to it where it's like, people get caught, it kind of becomes a big thing, and then we find some new form of it that is not traceable by the tests that we've been doing for the last few years, and then people get comfortable doing PEDs again, and then we end up in a situation where, you know, like, you have all these questions about different athletes, right? Like, and I think that's been coming up more this year about questions about different athletes, right? Like, a lot of people are questioning DK Metcalf, right? Like, they're just like, this dude is a fucking freak. Like, there's no way this is just genetics. The whole, like, all of UFC is in question for PEDs constantly. It is getting to the point where, like, even movie stars are starting to be questioned on their PED use, and I don't know, I think it's just going to go further, and I think this year is going to be another big break in, like, people actually questioning people's PED use.
I think it's a good idea to make this prediction in an Olympic year.
Mm-hmm.
Because that might be, like, a good place for them to get caught.
Yeah.
Or, like, the initial one that gets caught, and then they spill the beans, and that scandal ends up ballooning into something big from there. I think it's about time we had ourselves a good PED scandal. I think we're due.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so who's getting fired? Last year, Kaz, you had the Browns and Kevin Stefanski. Mm-hmm. DJM nailed his with the Lions and Matt Patricia, and I picked the Kings and Luke Walton. The Kings fired their general manager instead, not Luke Walton. So I'm still picking Luke Walton for 2021.
I get it, VZ. You just want him gone. I get it. 100%.
2-0. I'm feeling good about the team, but I just want him gone. It's not going to last.
You just want him gone.
Yeah. All right, DJM, what about yours?
I am predicting from the NBA, it will be Scott Brooks of the Washington Wizards. Because I don't know if I've said this too often. I'm not the biggest fan of Russell Westbrook. Not his biggest fan. And I think that he will probably not get along too well with Scott Brooks in Washington. I think
even though that was his former coach in OKC? Yeah,
I think so. I think him and Bradley Beal may not be able to share the ball too well. And I don't think the Washington Wizards are going to be very good. And the Washington Wizards have not been very good for a little while. And in the NBA, coaches get fired quickly. And I think Scott Brooks is going to be fired.
Okay. Kaz, you didn't quite hit on your Kevin Stefanski pick because he's actually doing pretty well with the Browns this year. What's your pick for 2021?
I thought about this, and I have like no clear idea. I was gonna go with the Lakers, right? If they start to struggle, LeBron, you know, LeBron loves to fire a coach. So, but they just fired and got a new coach. So it was it's tough, man. But I think of all the ones to go with, this one is a shot in the dark. Eric Spoelstra.
Whoa.
I think if things don't start going Pat Riley's way and that team starts to look a little rough, I don't think he blames the players this time around. I don't think they look at the players because I think they have a lot of the players that they want for the most part. So I think it now starts to circle around. If they don't get to the finals again, I think they start looking at front office people. And I think the head coach goes first.
Man.
Wow.
That's rough. I think he just feels like, A, I still think he's the best coach LeBron ever had.
Easily.
B, it just feels like he's a part of that institution at this point.
Yeah, I do
so
too.
I just don't see necessarily a need to rock the boat. I don't think, there was the time that Pat Riley stepped in and kicked Stan Van Gundy out and then coached that team to a championship. But outside of that, I feel like they've been very stable since then.
But now they're playing to win. You know what I mean? Not just playing to win games. They're playing to win. Yeah. And once you get there, right, everything could be fine and dandy when you're on the build-up, especially when you're coming off of a couple of winning seasons like they were. They were coming off a couple of winning seasons when they had LeBron and then a couple of more after that, right?
But then Eric Spoelstra has gotten them back to the finals.
And
after D-Wade retired.
But I think it now becomes a thing, and I think part of that is I think D Wade likes Spoelstra, and I think Pat Riley likes him too. But I think it starts to become this thing where everything is fine and dandy until you start to not get the thing that you want, right? And if they start to waver, right, the best situations turn ugly.
Kaz, are you saying right now? Are you saying right now that for the Heat, it's championship or bust?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're a little early on that, but and I just feel like as long as Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra are getting along, I don't even think it'll be a
player coach thing. I just think at this point, Pat Riley feels like he's put everything in place. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it's more that. I feel like it's more the chess player feeling like all the chess pieces are in place.
Well, and they went to the finals, so they must be.
Right.
They just ran into the Lakers, who were a juggernaut.
Yeah. And I think it's predicated on that. I think it's getting that taste of getting back to the greatness that you had a few years ago. And I think sometimes that makes people react differently. And I think there could be a blame game that happens.
I just think Pat Riley is smart enough to not react differently to that. I feel like the you know, younger and dumber general managers out there mm-hmm. that want to make a name for themselves. I could see this happening in those situations, but not with Pat Riley running the show. I just feel like he's been around long enough to know that that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And they just made the finals.
I mean, so David Blatt got fired the year after he made the finals as well with LeBron. So that's, you know,
well,
this is
LeBron.
A league.
That's LeBron.
Yeah, A, that's LeBron. But yeah, this is also a league where people who win Coach of the Year get fired the next year all the time.
So, hi, Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne Casey got fired in the same year he won Coach of the Year. So it's so like that's yeah, I definitely see the NBA being pretty unpredictable when it comes to coaching, but that's to me that's what highlights the Greg Popoviches and the Rick Carlisles and the Eric Spoelstras who stick around for a long time even more, just because those are franchises where they expect those situations to be stable and the stability actually helps them maintain their success. So yeah, so I think this is like our first really controversial pick of this prediction episode, but I think but yeah, we got to make our picks. All right, so last year we tried to predict who would retire in 2020. Kaz picked Drew Brees, DGM picked Eli Manning, and I picked Chris Paul.
One was for you, Kaz. That one was just for you. I did that you, Kaz.
And you were right. I'm pretty sure I didn't think you were right, but you were right.
I did that for you, Kaz. I love you, man. That one was for you.
Kaz,
actually, now I don't know if I want that because I fucking ended up with goddamn Daniel Jones.
Kaz was almost right with Drew Brees. I mean, he broke like five ribs, but I guess he's back. So, yeah. At least he'll be going into the year 2021. Maybe you could recycle that pick, like I did with Luke Walt.
How old is Drew Brees?
I believe he's 41.
Like 40.
41. I believe Drew Brees is 41, yeah, but also you got to remember he had like 17 of his ribs broken this year, and Sean Payton seems dead set on replacing him with Taysom Hill. For some goddamn reason.
And people also
ego, man. People have massive ego. Like, and I feel like in his head, somewhere, somehow, he's competing with Tom Brady. Right? Like,
oh, they've admitted it. Both Brady and Brees have said, those two.
And there were those couple weeks in there where like both of them are near the top of the list of or the career touchdowns thrown, I believe. So like they were basically exchanging that active record back and forth for part of the year before Brees got injured. But I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to recycle that pick if the Saints win the Super Bowl, then retiring on top is, that's something John Elway did, something Peyton Manning did. It might be something that Drew Brees wants to do as well.
Yeah. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pick Philip Rivers.
Okay. Damn, I was going to pick
that. Yeah. So we got two for Philip Rivers then? I don't know. Philip Rivers might stay around for a few more. He's got like 12 kids. He might need to stay around for a few more years, make sure all of their college is paid for and taken care of.
It was between Philip Rivers and Udonis Haslem.
Oh.
Yeah. Udonis Haslem was like my second choice. Yeah.
The thing is, Philip Rivers is like, it's his first year with a new team and he's doing pretty well. So I don't expect that retirement to happen yet.
Yeah.
I think they'll at least want to try to run it back next year and see what happens if they upgrade the rest of the team. I think, so DGM, what was your actual pick? Well,
my pick for retiring is a guy who has won NBA titles. He's won the finals MVP, but I think he's starting to get up there in age, and I would not be surprised if he moves on very soon. I might get this wrong for 2021, but I would not be surprised if it's 2022, and that's Andre Iguodala. I think he's on the Heat right now, so hashtag ring chasing. And I would not be surprised one way or the other if they get far in the playoffs or go all the way and win the title. I would not be surprised if Andre Iguodala retires after this year. I think he's one of those guys that doesn't necessarily need basketball. I think that he's probably looking for his next career. It wouldn't surprise me. And I think that he's got plenty to hang his hat on. He's won a finals MVP. He's got a few rings. He's probably trying for one more. Why not?
All right. So after my tremendous swing and miss at Chris Paul last year, I feel compelled to go a little bit safer, but still a little risky. I'm going to go with Alex Smith. Because I feel like he's completed his comeback story, and I think he will decide to ride off into the sunset after this year, just because he's proven that he can come back. He's proven that he can still play in the NFL, but I think Washington will want to move in a different direction for both him and Dwayne Haskins. And then
JVZ, that's where I'm going to stop you, because I think that one, yes, Dwayne Haskins is definitely gone, but I think that Alex Smith was the best quarterback on their roster.
Yes,
and
he was.
I would not be surprised if he stays around.
All right, so now you got me checking his age, but
he's not that old.
He isn't, and well, he's 36 years old, which now makes me feel. Like, I remember his rookie year.
I mean, for quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if Tom Brady's expecting to play to 45. I none of us picked Tom Brady.
No.
So, and we might not be picking him for a couple years. But
nope.
But yeah, it's. I think, I don't know, it feels, well, with all the people saying earlier this year that like they hope for his sake that he never plays another NFL game, just because they were scared that he was going to get hurt again, which I think was a little bit misguided, just because the likelihood of him getting the exact same injury again was weird. But he's always been a very I don't want to say a cerebral player. I think he's a cerebral player out of experience, because he got so many different offensive coordinators his first 7 years or so. And I think now he's kind of gone through the whole experience of doing everything as a quarterback in the NFL without actually winning a Super Bowl. So unless he's actually in the position where he's chasing another title, I don't think Alex Smith has anything left to prove. He proved that he can come back, and I didn't think he was going to retire at the beginning of the year because he still had something to prove. Now he's proven it beyond anybody's expectations. But I would love to see him continue to play, because I love me some Alex Smith.
Yeah.
All right, so... this is a prediction that we won't get to do again this year, because the question was, how many years will the XFL last? all of us.
I mean, because it's going to come back.
That's fair.
So
I'm sticking with my prediction.
Does the clock reset, or are we still on the clock?
I'd say we're still on the clock.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? You guys convinced me. I think the clock is on pause. So the question should have been how many seasons.
Right.
So we've got like a half season so far and then we're on pause.
Yeah.
But that half season was good enough that somebody wanted to buy the league. And so I think we've got positive vibes around the new ownership group. So, you know, and good, at least realistic plans for when to resume play. So I think we resume the clock when they come back. And even if the league looks a little bit different, even if people start calling it XFL 3.0, I still think it's kind of a continuation of XFL 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our moonshot predictions from last year. DGM has an active pro athlete in the four major North American sports coming out as gay. I have Andrew Luck joining the XFL. Both of us, I think, were wrong about that.
It's still a possibility for your Andrew Luck thing.
Mine was predicated on Oliver Luck being a part of the XFL and that very famous falling out that's still trying to be set, still playing out in courts right now, I think has made it so there's a pretty good chance he's not going to be back with the league, even with the new ownership.
Now, Kaz, with your moonshot prediction, I kind of want to give you this one.
Yeah, no, I totally do. That's why I saved it for last. Yeah. But the first part, you had the Knicks.
I don't even remember what fucking fever dream made me say this shit.
Well, okay, so I had to go back and, because I had Steve Nash written to the side, so I had to go back and listen to what actually predicated this. But you had initially said the Knicks sell the team to Elon Musk, and then in 2024, he hires LeBron to be the head coach. And then you backed off of that and said that Steve Nash would be hired. I tried to talk you out of that, saying that Steve Nash is more interested in soccer now. But you nailed Steve Nash being a head coach, and you nailed it a couple years earlier than
which, I mean, see, now this makes some weird fucking shit, right? Because there's now a possibility that Steve Nash could end up the head coach of the Knicks in 2024.
That is absolutely the case. Yeah, I think once somebody gets a head coaching shot, usually they end up with multiple ones if they get fired. You know, like Luke Walton. But yeah, I think I did not see Steve Nash being a head coach to the point where I even forgot you made this prediction at all.
Yeah.
And to the point where you forgot. You didn't bring this up.
I didn't bring this up at all, man. I saw this just like I opened up the doc this morning and I was looking through it and I'm like, cool. And I was like, did I say this wild ass shit?
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't say that wild ass shit. I don't know where that came from, but yeah, I said that wild ass shit.
All right. So now that you've set expectations for yourself, you gotta make another one for this year.
So I think all right, here's my thing, right? Elon Musk is not gonna invest in basketball anytime soon. That's well and good. I think more so I feel like it's got to be something like really, really out there. I feel like it has to be some weird shit on like genetic modification for some shit. Like somebody gets like a fucking a servo put into their shoulder, and like it brings to question like is that shit legal? Like somebody's shoulder gets fucking obliterated, but we're at the point in technology, like a baseball player, like some pitcher, fucking shit explodes, like fucking just is destroyed, And the only way to fix it is to add some kind of like mechanical shoulders, like built out of machined parts. And people question whether that's legal or not.
I often wondered if Barry Bonds had like a mechanical thing. Well, I guess he always had like the mechanical brace, which some people accused that of being cheating a little bit. But yeah, I guess this is a little bit similar to Oscar Pistorius and him competing in the Olympics, like Chimera brings up in the chat, which was kind of overridden by his murder scandal. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is too far off. So I think that's a pretty good moonshot take. DJM, what do you got?
My moonshot, and this will probably be like years down the line, because it involves Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA.
Okay.
Generally regarded as doing a great job as commissioner.
Yeah.
Lots of positive reviews for Adam Silver as commissioner of the NBA. But I think that this will further prove how much of a forward-thinking guy he is. And I will say that the next commissioner of the NBA after Adam Silver will be a woman.
Okay.
I would not be surprised if the NBA makes such a decision. It could be one of the major WNBA, like, iconic stars. It could be a coach from college. Or it could be, finally, Becky Hammon. Finally, we get to stop acting as if Becky Hammon is never going to get her just due. And she might end up being commissioner. Who knows? But I think that Adam Silver has opened a good amount of doors for the game of basketball. And I would not be surprised that whenever he decides to step down, the next commissioner will be a woman, whenever that may be.
So I think, Mark Tatum is kind of next in line for that. So somebody would have to skip the line, or he would have to decide that he doesn't want the job or something like that. So I think, yeah, pretty good moonshot take. It's also not that far-fetched because the president of the Players Union, Michelle Roberts, is a woman. So the Chimera again brings up somebody like Jeannie Buss potentially stepping in, although I don't know if she would want to step away from her role as the Lakers.
See, I thought about that too, but then I was like, no, she doesn't want to. She's loving the... she had to fight fucking tooth and claw to be able to get control of that. So, like, I don't think she would want to give it up after she had to fight.
Yeah, she's not giving that team back to her brother.
It's DeVizi.
Ooh, okay. I think, I feel like something is going to disband. Something is going to fail because of COVID. It may be a team getting sold, and I know I'm being vague right now. I will zero in on a very specific prediction, but I feel like it will be a hockey team that will just like flat out fall apart due to COVID finances and be sold to a consortium of NBA players because they will have enough money to pool together to buy a hockey team. Right now, they don't have enough money to buy NBA teams, but I feel like hockey teams are kind of at that level where they are still attainable for millionaires that pool their money together. It will be a legend in the city that the hockey team plays that will organize this, and they will be the face of operations. It'll be like a Derek Jeter sort of thing, but it'll be somebody from a different sport, which will be kind of weird. But, it'll be like Kevin Garnett buying the Minnesota Wild, something like that. maybe that's my prediction. Kevin Garnett will buy the Minnesota Wild because he couldn't buy the Timberwolves.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. KG buying the Minnesota Wild. I like that. I like that.
Took me a while to get there, but I've zeroed in on it. So, yeah, so that concludes our prediction show for 2021. We'll check in a year from now to see how well we did on these. I think we got a good shot of nailing quite a few of these. So
I have no idea how I got my fired and retired.
Well, I have no idea how Kaz nailed Steve Nash. So it'll be hard to top that. But check in next year.
I had to pull that shit out of my ass. I don't know where that even came from, man.
Great call.
Yeah. So as we like to say on this show, wait and see. And so there will be a lot of wait and see this year. It'll be
fucking head coach of the Knicks, Steve Nash.
NBA Commissioner Doris Burke.
I could see that happening. Or I could see Doris Burke potentially getting a coaching opportunity, but I feel like there's other people in line in front of her as well. So,
but I think it would be deserved if she did get one.
It'd be
at least as deserved as some of the other people that have gotten jobs.
Steve Kerr.
That one was like, that one definitely felt like it was out of left field, but it's kind of hard to argue with the results on that.
That's another debate. Take it home.
Yeah, that's all right. Thank you all for listening. Check in throughout the rest of 2021 as we monitor all the stories in sports and see how well we made some of these predictions. SportsOddsAndEnds.com if you want to hit up all of our previous episodes and links to all of our show notes
and our prediction
and
our poll.
And yeah, we've got a poll out on Twitter right now for best jerseys. So vote on that. At Sports Odds Ends is the show's Twitter account. I'm at JVZ. Kaz is at King Kaz. DJM is at Call Me DJM. If you want to hit us up throughout the week.
There's not sports. That many votes in here, but surprisingly, the NHL, 33%.
Yeah, we tried to say hockey jerseys are actually okay. But yeah. Patreon.com/sportsoddsandends if you want to support the show financially. Thank you to all of you who currently do that. You guys keep the show running and keep everybody getting paid. So unlike college athletes. So thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.